Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Wednesday to you. My next guest is Haley Campbell. She is the author of All the Living and the Dead. And Haley, I'm Dave. Very nice to meet you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So since we've known each other for 10 seconds, I feel close. I'm going to tell you my deepest, darkest fear. So it's not zombies. When I was a little kid, I had a nightmare about being at a funeral and the corpse started talking to me. And I don't know if it's like this in Great Britain, but like when you're little and a dead animal like a frog kicks its legs, your parents will go, oh, it's just nerves. And in my nightmare, someone said, oh, it's just nerves. It happens sometimes. It's very embarrassing for the family. And since then, that has haunted me. So I'm fascinated by all things dead people and corpses and how do we do it and what do we do and all this kind of thing. So I'm very happy to talk to you. I have to ask you like the cliche question, which is like what brought me interested into this, because it's the most horrifying thing in the world, but what caused you to be interested in this topic?
Well, like you, it was when I was a kid. I had lots and lots of questions about death and dead bodies. And when you go around asking questions about death and dead bodies, adults tend to say, oh, we don't talk about that, or you shouldn't ask about that, or that's a secret. And I think as soon as you tell a kid that something is secret, that becomes fascinating. So there was that, you know, I hung on to that. It became a preoccupation and probably kind of an obsession as I grew up. But also I was growing up in a house where my dad's a cartoonist, mm-hmm. and he was drawing a comic called From Hell at the time, written by Alan Moore. And it's about the Jack the Ripper murders. Mm-hmm. And he started drawing it when I was three. He finished when I was 13. So at this very formative period in my life, our house was just, you know, he had pictures up for reference and they were autopsy pictures and crime scene photographs of these poor dead women. And I didn't know anything about their story. I didn't, you know, I didn't really understand what a prostitute was. I didn't understand any of this, but I was interested in the fact that they were a dead body. I wanted to know what happened next. And I just wanted to know everything about them. Mm-hmm. And it was the kind of thing that was okay at home. But as soon as I left the house and started talking about it to other people, they were like, what is going on in your house?
Haley, I love that it was okay at home to talk about dead prostitutes. But once I took that, I just love that. I think you're maybe weirder than me. I love this. So did your dad, by the way, did your dad ever, when you grew up, go, that probably wasn't the best parenting? Or did he just love it?
No, I think my dad gave off a kind of Gomez Adams vibe because at the time he was drawing those pictures, I thought all dads were doing this. Sure. And I only found out that they weren't when I went around to other people's houses and their dads weren't even there because their dads didn't work from home. They went out, they were accountants, they were lawyers. And I had this strange one who stayed at home drawing pictures, but I wanted to do what he did. Because I thought all adults did it. So I pulled up, you know, an upturned cardboard box and I put it beside his drawing table. And I worked on my own book of horrors and I called it The Ripper Files because I ripped that name off a book that was hanging around on the bookshelves. Mm-hmm. And I drew all the ways that I could imagine a person could die violently. And they varied from, you know, witches boiling babies to I'd recently seen gorillas in the mist. I was seven, by the way. I'd recently seen gorillas in the mist. So I drew somebody being cut up with a machete while they were sleeping. But some of the things were just factual. Like I drew a skull and I wrote across the top, if someone chops your head off and your skin rots, you look like this. And I stand by that. I still think that is true. But my dad kept all of these pictures and I still have them now. He kept them for me. And he used to show them off to guests, horrified guests when they come around. But it's now this precious artifact. First and my all, first book.
Andrew, thank you for booking my soulmate. So where's mom? I know we're supposed to be talking about the book, but where's mom in all this? Was mom just like, okay, I'm going to make pork chops now. You two finish up.
The weird thing is that my mom, you know, she never talked us out of any of this. In my house, if you had an interest, it was supported. And the strangest thing has happened recently, which is my mom read this book, my new book, and she liked it. And I completely didn't expect that to happen. Mm. And because she thought, based on my earlier work, that it was going to be pure gore and it was going to be gruesome and it wouldn't be for her. And she read this book and she's like, this is essential knowledge. And I had no idea. And she's now going around telling all the ladies in her office, you have to read this book. She's forcing it on them.
That's so great. So one of the first things that fascinated me, and it's pretty 101, but just whether it was a dog or a person or, you know, roadkill, it was just, they're gone. Like, they were here 5 seconds ago. They were there 5 seconds ago. They weren't good, but they were there, and they're gone. They're just gone. There's just nothing left. Did that concept haunt you as well?
Yeah, and in a big way, because when I was 13, one of my best friends drowned in a flooded creek. She had jumped in to save her dog because her dog fell into the creek, and she went in after it. The dog survived, but Harriet didn't. So I remember being at her funeral and sitting in the church and not being able to concentrate on anything that was happening because there was this white coffin in front of me. And I knew that my friend was in there because I had been told that she was in there. But I was like, I couldn't concentrate on the fact that something big had happened because I wanted to know the practicalities of what was happening inside that box. I couldn't get past it. And I was conscious of the fact that there were other people in the church and hovering around the hearse outside who had seen her and did know what was happening and had cared for her where, you know, we and her family weren't able to go. And I think that was the point where I became conscious of the fact that there are these hidden people who take care of this stuff that we can't do, or we think we can't do. But that was a huge moment. The fact that somebody was there and then she wasn't. And how do you process that?
And I don't know how it is in Great Britain, but 100 years ago, typically people would be laid out in their homes. And I remember I lived in an apartment years and years ago, 20 years ago or more, and there was an old lady across the street, and I used to go visit her, being a nice guy, and we were sitting out on her porch one day, and she said, yeah, they laid them all out right in that room. I said, what are you talking about? She said, there were three sisters, old maids that lived in your house, and they all died at the same time, and they put them all right in your living room. And I'm like, lady, you're about to die because I'm about to beat you to death with a tire iron. Like, it just scared the hell out of me. So you've spoken to executioners and grave diggers and cryonics people. Walk me through just who interested you the most and for what reason?
Well, the moment that really changed things for me happened very early. You know, I wrote this book proposal, which in retrospect was kind of naive. But one of the first people I met was a funeral director called Poppy Mardell. And I met her at this strange event. It was a wake for this long dead philosopher called Jeremy Bentham, whose severed head was in a bell jar just on a table of Budweiser's. Because in his time, he was very progressive thinking, and he had donated his body to science long before anyone did this. And he said that he wanted to be publicly dissected by his friends so that other people could watch and learn things. And now there's a college in the middle of London where you can go and see his body. He is a skeleton dressed in his own clothes. He's sitting in a chair in a glass box. And he was supposed to have his own head on his shoulders, but the preservation went a little bit wrong. So mm-hmm. his real head is now kind of purple and gross, and they've had to make a wax head. So that's sitting there. But students come and go. He's just this thing that is in the corridor, and you can visit him if you like. But I was at this wake, and it was kind of a death positivity moment. You know, people were there. They were talking about the mm-hmm. backward attitude that we have towards death nowadays. And a woman stood up to give a speech, and this was Poppy Mardle, the funeral director. And she said, the first dead body you see should not be someone you love. And she said that the reason for this is that you should be able to separate the shock of seeing death for the first time from the shock of grief. And I was sitting there at the table, and it just, it really stopped me in my tracks, because it's not often these days, especially in England, in that we see dead bodies. In America, you might have an open coffin, but it's not a thing here. Hmm. If you want to see the body of, you know, your family member before the funeral, you can arrange to see them in this sort of little back room at the funeral home called the Chapel of Rest. But open coffins aren't a thing. So somebody dies and then you never see them again. That is the normal thing. And so there are people in their 80s who've never seen a dead body before. And I spoke to her after this. I said, that was astonishing. Can I interview you for this book? And so I went to her funeral home and I spoke to her and I said, I've never seen a dead body. And can I see one in your mortuary? And it felt like a strange question to ask, but who else are you going to ask it to? And she said, of course you can, but we don't treat this mortuary like a museum. So I'm not just going to open the fridge and show you, but you can come back when you've got some free time and you can help dress a person for their coffin. You can actually have some interaction with the body and feel like you're doing something. And I couldn't believe she said this, but I did go back and I did help dress a man, a complete stranger. I helped dress him for his coffin, and he wasn't embalmed. So he looked dead. His eyes looked dead. They were like oysters in their shells. And he was all kinds of colors. You know, he was yellow and green, but he wasn't in any way as frightening as the horrors that we have built up in our mind that dead bodies are. The overwhelming feeling, apart from this, I mean, I'm not religious, I'm an atheist, but after spending 12 years at Catholic school, I was entirely turned off.
Tends to happen, yeah.
Yeah. It was as close to a religious experience as I've ever had in my life. It felt profound and special. And I didn't know this man at all. And I had a lump in my throat the whole time I was doing it. And now, like, when people ask, you know, what have you learned from this book? I'm like, well, lots of things. But the one thing that I think has really changed something for me is I now really want to be there when my family die. I want to be involved in their funeral, because I had this profound experience with a complete stranger who showed me what a dead body looks like.
That's really fascinating and beautiful. It really is.
Yeah.
So, Haley, how do you want to be cared for when your time comes, now that you've seen all these things?
Well, I think the point of my book is really, you know, I want to be cared for however my family feel that it would benefit them. Because it's sort of them coming to terms with my death. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, if they want to dress me, then do that. If they don't, I would never force anyone to do anything. But in terms of how I want my body to be disposed of, I am super into the idea of alkaline hydrolysis. Have you heard about this?
I've not, no.
It's water cremation. So you go into this... It's a big silver tube, and you're basically put in there with superheated water and lye, and it dissolves anything biological and leaves behind this perfectly white skeleton and then any biological implements that you went in there with. So if you've got a new knee, mm-hmm. it would wash up with the bones, and then they pulverize the bones in the same way they do in a crematorium. But instead of the ashes looking like cat litter, yeah. which, to be honest, they do.
Yeah.
It looks like a massive bag of cocaine, to be honest, because it's so white. Mm-hmm. And that is what you're left with. And I just find I've been there when a body has gone through this. They use it in medical schools. It's legal in some states in America. It's not done in the UK yet, despite the fact that the UK produces the machines. I really like the idea, having spent time in a crematorium and watched bodies being smashed up by flames. I think it doesn't sound it, but it seems a lot more gentle.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Until you said that, I would have been a cremation guy just because that's, you know, it's kind of the go-to if you don't want to be embalmed and everything. I love the sky burials like they do in South America.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
although they're running out of vultures. Have you heard this?
No.
Because everything is so bleak in the world right now.
Right.
They are running out of vultures. So bodies lay out there for much longer than they used to because the vultures just don't come.
Haley, you realize you just said things are so bad, we're running out of birds of prey to eat dead people. That may be the social commentary of the month. That's fantastic.
This is why I don't get invited to dinner parties.
Yeah, no kidding. So I've really enjoyed this. I'd love to talk to you again. And I'll give you a compliment. Your book is going to be the first one I've read in 10 years by an author I've had on the show. I'm happy
wow.
to promote authors, but I just am not that interested usually. But I'm really interested in this. I'm going to read this. Maybe we'll have you back on and I can walk through it again with you once I've read the book.
I would absolutely love that.
Great. Okay. Well, have a great night in the UK and we'll talk soon. Again, the book is All the Living and the Dead by Haley Campbell. And even before reading it, I recommend it and I'll let you guys know how it goes. Thank you, Haley.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.